Wake up. Wake up. Niners win. Niners win. Some are happy. Some are frustrated. Niners win. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. It's a Victory Monday. Welcome to Wake Up. Damon Bruce, Larry Kruger. Great to have you here. Like and subscribe. Both channels streaming, beaming around the world. And it's a Victory Monday. I don't know why people are so upset. Hey, the Tennessee Titans are an NFL team. You get that, right? They are an NFL team. And the Niners still won, still covered, and are on track, if things go right around them, to be the one seed in the NFC. I'm not here for people's angst and anxiety. This is a pretty good situation that the 49ers have found themselves in. And Larry, Brock Purdy just played his best game since the Super Bowl season. Hands down, that is the best Brock Purdy has looked in a football game since the 2023 football season. He was in control. He looked good. He looked spry. I didn't think turf toe once yesterday as he was throwing the football around, and I don't think you did either. That was a good game for the 49ers. The defense is a work in progress, and to expect it to be anything other than that for the rest of the year means you just haven't been paying attention. Niners are going to have to win by the skin of their teeth sometimes. Yesterday, they won by 13 points. That's a good afternoon for the 49ers.
Well, it was good. It was a good day for Purdy, for sure. He's got seven career games now with a passer rating of 140 or higher. That ties him with Kurt Warner for the most such games by a player in his first four seasons in the NFL in the history of the league. So, you know, next time you hear people jumping up and down, Brock sucks, Brock's, you know, get rid of Brock, Brock's flawed, just know that they just, you know, whatever. They either can't read, they don't know football, whatever. But those are the facts. You know, if you I guess you could debate and say, well, passer rating isn't all that. Okay, fine. But as far as passer rating is concerned, he's one of the best.
I mean, what more do you want? The guy had a season high, 76, rounded up to 77% completion percentage yesterday, 3 touchdowns, 7 carries for 44 yards, including a career high, 295 yards on a deadly efficient 23 of 30. Again, it just went really well. I mean, it went really well. And you know what? Cam Ward's improving. I think we saw that a little bit. Tony Pollard's a decent running back. I think we saw that a little bit. The 49ers need Tatum Bethune back in the middle because Fred Warner ain't there to save things. And I think we saw that a little bit too. But man, the safety play is getting better. Some of these guys can get some more stickums on their hands. There would have been 2-3 picks yesterday, maybe. I thought it was a pretty darn good day, all things considered. And remember, the beauty, the swimsuit portion of this competition, for the 49ers, it never really existed. They never had the chance to put on the bikini and walk around the pool and get everybody looking at them. That's just not who they are this year. This is a bring your lunch pail, grin and bear it. It's going to be gritty. This is not football for the faint of heart. The 49ers are not built to just roll out and dominate a football team. It's not who they are. But guess what? There's nobody in this league built to dominate anybody, except maybe the Rams. They look really, really good. But this is wide open, and the Niners are not just in the conversation. They could be leading the NFC's conversation, starting with what could be the results on Thursday night. And we'll get to all of that. But welcome, everybody. I mean, Victory Monday. This is the sprint to the finish. The 49ers can be 13-4 in a year where everything has gone wrong. That would be pretty damn good if that were to happen. So welcome to a little perspective. Let me also give you some perspective on where you should go to lunch today. Get to Ike's. Get yourself a sandwich from Ike's. You got the Christmas season coming up. You got cookies to bake. You got brownies to bake. You got pies to bake. You got big dinners to make. Let Ike handle the rest and handle lunch. Get yourself to Ike's. Pick up a sandwich for dinner. You'll be happy that you did. Get to the Dubliner West Portal because obviously everybody here needs a Guinness. Go ahead, grab yourself a drink at the Dubliner West Portal. Say hi to Kenny and John for me and thank them for being two of the best bartenders in one of the best bars in all of San Francisco, the Dubliner West Portal. Larry, can we get you some DayQuil or something? You look a little under the weather, brother.
Yeah, well, battling a little bit of a nasal congestion, but thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. check them out. They're in Corte Madera. They're in Emeryville. They're soon to open in Petaluma. And thanks to Damon and Mary for for sponsoring the Krug Show. We appreciate them greatly. Check them out. Check them out. Great barbecue. You're not going to be disappointed. Once you try it, you'll like it. You'll be a fan for life. Also, the Krug Show all season long is sponsored over here by Sleeper. That's right. Thanks to Sleeper, 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. One-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this one. You know, there's two schools of thought on this. There's the people that are just happy that the Niners got a win, and they're like, hey, you know what? A win's a win's a win. And then there are other people going, hey, you know what? They got a win, but, man, they really showed that they're not a championship-caliber team. And there are people that really believe that. The 49ers have given up 130 yards on the ground, 6.8 yards per carry, to a Titans team that entered the game ranked 31st in the NFL in rushing. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. The Colts, for example, who are next on the schedule, are not ranked 31st in the league in rushing. They're ranked 6th in the league in rushing. And so what is that going to mean? What's that going to look like? Is it going to be, you know, 185 yards and 8 yards a carry, and the Niners are getting, you know, Jonathan Taylor, you know, run over basically?
Hey, if let me just ask, if the 49ers beat the Colts and Jonathan Taylor runs for 8 yards a carry, what's it matter?
Well, you're saying if the 49ers beat the Colts, but how many teams run for 185 yards and lose? Not too many.
Not too many.
I bet you nobody this year has run for 185 and lost. I bet you nobody this year has run for 8.5 a carry and lost. Yeah, I mean, the Niners have had a couple games now back-to-back where they can't run, their opponent could run, and they won, and the Niners won the game. But I wouldn't call that a recipe for success. And when you're going, I mean, it works when you're going up against Shadur. It works when you're going up against Cam, but it's not going to work when you're going up against better quarterbacks.
Well,
so it's really as simple as that.
Is Philip Rivers going to be that guy? I don't know. Let me tell you, Philip Rivers.
Well, it's great, not about Philip Rivers. Right? It's about Stafford. It's about Hurts. It's about the teams. It's not really even about these games. It's about how are the Niners positioned once they get to the playoffs of trying to make something happen. And there are people out there that were hoping that this would be, you know, they'd have some kind of miraculous Super Bowl run. All I would say to those people who are disappointed is just acknowledge, just the Niners may indeed make a Super Bowl run, but it, you know, they're not going to get Warner. They're not going to get Bosa. You know, those guys are probably done for the year, even though Warner's trying to make a comeback. They're probably done for the year. And if they're done for the year, the next guy up isn't nearly as good. And the next guy up is really not as good. So, you know, so the 49ers are not going to, they're going to have to win this thing with their offense and their special teams. We've seen it in the past. I mean, heck, it's okay. Yeah. You know, they got to the playoffs a few years ago. They had to win with their defense and their special or defense instead of offense and special teams. Now they got a good special teams unit. They got a really good offense. They don't have much of a defense. They got to win on offense. So, hopefully, what I want to see in the final couple games is I'd like to see them dial up some, get this offense going on a little bit more of an explosive plane. So you're not just winning games, but you're scoring 30, 35 every week. So that when you get to the playoffs, you know, maybe your offense can carry you through. Because I agree, there's no perfect team. It's like we can sit there and go, oh, the Niners aren't perfect. Yeah, but you know what? All these other teams have lost key players as well. And, you know, a lot of people losing their minds today about, you know, the points that the Niners gave up to this Titans team. Well, Seattle's got a pretty good defense and they gave up the same number of points. So it's, you know, it's, I'm not saying that you don't have a reason to be concerned. You do have a reason to be concerned, but all I would just say is, you know, it's the way you play, the day you play.
Exactly.
Nothing has changed in the last 24 hours. If they play well in the playoffs, they may win. If they don't play well in the playoffs, they're going home. It's as simple as that.
For the ninth week in a row, burn the tape. Again, there's nothing really learned. I don't think Tennessee is a measuring stick of what you're supposed to be or not supposed to be. Just get through these games. There are 3 one-game seasons remaining for the 49ers. 3 one-game seasons. It's a Colts season, it's a Bears season, and then it's a Seahawks season. And if you win those next three games, the amount of good shit that is going to be in front of you is fantastic. I mean, it really is. Even if you drop one of those games, you're still probably a playoff team. Very much so. This was a big win for the Niners, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. You're judging this on a beauty pageant. What are you doing? It's about winning or losing. That's it. And it's not like, well, they played really poorly against Tennessee. Guess what? You're not going to see Tennessee again. It's not like this is a 7-game series against the Tennessee Titans. So don't worry about it. Like that defense will not be great all year. Just get rid of, just prepare yourself mentally for maybe a sack and a half if things are going great, and a decent, you know, bend don't break defense. That's what they are. That's who they are. I mean, like, you've been watching now all season long. Not you, Larry, but people who are watching who don't know what they're looking at. How can you say you've been watching every game yet still not know what you're looking at? And Larry, you know, you're talking about these big explosive plays. Dude, they don't have the guys to run those plays. They're not going to be running those plays. Jordan Watkins is now not going to be involved at the end of this season. We are not going to see.
He should be.
He should, but isn't. I mean, just clearly isn't. You know who should be on this team? Brandon Ayuk. But he isn't. It's weird. Shanahan has like four dudes he wants to run his entirety of his offense through. But what are you going to say when he's got a season high 430 total yards of offense yesterday? They scored on each of their first five possessions. It was touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. And people were complaining about the offense in the first half.
Who?
The internet.
Yeah, well, fuck the internet. Well, I mean, I'm not playing that game. If, you know, people said whatever. I mean, people say a lot of stupid shit.
The 49ers converted on each of their 7 first down attempts to start the game. That's tied for the second most consecutive third down conversions to start a game for the team since 1978. You know, they played a lot of good teams.
They got to be good on offense. I mean, they have to be good on offense to get this thing done. They got a good, they finally got a good performance out of Ricky, though I think he might be hurt again. They got a nice performance out of Kittle. CMC played. Brock played well. I mean, the real takeaway from this game, I think, if you're really saying what's real, what's not. Well, some of it's the Tennessee Titans, right? Some of it, they're bad. You know, you played a 2-win football team and at home and you beat them. Okay. So yeah, some of the, what we saw yesterday was about Tennessee not being very good. What did we see yesterday that's real? I think we saw that Brock Purdy is over the turf toe. I mean, he's moving, he's running. He doesn't look under pain in a lot of pain. He's getting away. He seems like his footwork is solid. I thought he was fantastic. He pushed the ball down the field. He was 8 of 12 for 152 and a touchdown on throws of 10 plus air yards. That's the most completions in a game of 10 plus air yards by Purdy all season. So he's starting to look like the Brock Purdy who we expected to see and weren't sure if we were going to get again this year. So if you want to talk about positive developments, the positive development is that the Niners offense can be more explosive than it's been. Brock Purdy seems to be getting healthier. And the 49ers special teams is a pretty solid unit across the board. It's not the greatest, but it's far from what it used to be. So then it's just really about, can Robert Saleh and the boys get, the right game plan, maybe get a turnover or two. It's really, they're going to be turnover dependent on defense. They're not going to be able to stop teams. They won't stop teams. What you saw yesterday is not like, oh, that was freaking nature. No, it's not. Whoever they're going against, Jonathan Taylor's going to have success. They're going to have to get some turnovers. Now, they lucked out in that they were probably going to be a 3 or 4 point underdog against the Colts about a month ago. Now the 49ers are 5.5 point favorites in this game. And that's a big development. So Niners also get Phillip Rivers, who played well yesterday, but is 44 and hasn't played in 5 years. And I would imagine the next game is going to be more challenging than the last game for Phillip, just because of the ability or the lack thereof to bounce back when you're 44. So I think they're perfectly positioned to win this game. Then it's the Bears. It's going to be a war. It's going to be a really tough game to win.
Look out. By the way, I did get one thing wrong this weekend. I got one thing wrong. I thought the Bears might lose at home to the Browns, but I'll tell you, when that defense is causing turnovers, because that, by the way, the Chicago Bears defense is not like a stomp your lights out level defense at all. But when they cause turnovers and Caleb Williams protects the ball and they're running like they ran yesterday, they're a handful. They really, really are. So yeah, that game will be a war. And then Seattle had, what, 6 field goals to beat Phillip Rivers and the Colts just yesterday. It feels like Seattle's best offense is now behind it a little. We'll find out. We'll see how much that game means in week 18, 19, whatever the last season of the NFL is now. But I just think that if you're watching this entire year and you watched the Niners win yesterday and you're nothing but mad this morning, like, what are you doing? Like, why do you do this? Why are you, you need a level of in-game perfection to now be satisfied with a victory? I mean, good God, it's not like the Niners won by the skin of their teeth. They were in control of that football game for
did you watch the game? That's all I would say to people. Did you watch the game? Because if you watched the game, what you saw was the 49ers up 31-10 at the end of the third quarter. You know, I mean, and they were up 3 touchdowns going to the fourth, and they gave up 2 meaningless fourth quarter touchdowns in garbage.
They didn't punt. If you're complaining about your quarterback on a day where your offense doesn't punt.
Nobody's complaining about the quarterback. They're complaining about the defense, Damon. They're complaining about the fact that they gave 24 points to a Titans team that was really horrible offensively.
Like averaging 15 points.
And Pollard went for 7 for a carry. You know what I mean? So and Spears went for 11-3 a carry. I mean, the Niners did not do a good job stopping the run. The Titans ran 6-8 a carry on 20 carries. The 49er offense, though, you know, is, and I've said this for a couple of years now, it's like there's different ways to win. I mean, you can win shutting everybody down, or you can win outscoring everybody. Well, this is a year where if the Niners are going to win, they're going to win like this. They're going to win outscoring people. They're not going to win 17-14 in the playoffs against good teams. They're going to have to put up 30-plus and hope that their defense gets a turnover or two and win a kind of a sloppy makeshift shootout type
thing. That's it. That's what's available. But guess what? It could totally be on the menu in every single game that they play. In every game that they play.
They just have to do a better job on D. I mean, like, they didn't defend the tight end yesterday at all. They targeted Gunnar Helm 4 times. He made 4 catches for 49 yards and a touchdown, and he got loose against the zone. So, you know, they're going to have to – they're emerging as a very good offensive team that needs a turnover on defense to win. And, you know, Mustafa Brown are, I think, a good safety tandem, but man, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to catch the interceptions they throw you. And that they dropped them yesterday. I mean, Mustafa had one right in the breadbasket. He dropped it. So you have to, when they throw you the ball, you got to catch it. So I want to see Mustafa and Brown and Siegel and the Niners safeties and DBs. I want to see those guys on the jugs gun this week working to catch the ball. Because it might be the difference between going to the Super Bowl and going home.
Larry, what do you think we're going to get news on Ricky Pearsall this week? Do you think he's even playing in Indianapolis?
I hope. He played great yesterday. He looked great.
He was good.
They targeted him 7 times. He caught 6 balls. It looks like he got hurt on the first play with the ankle, but he came back. Then what, he got a PCL strain or something like that later? So he's got a knee and an ankle, but people are like, oh, you hate Pearsall. I don't hate Pearsall. I want to see him produce. And he's a first-round draft choice. And he's a guy who runs in the middle of the field that you guys were comparing to Julian Edelman. All right, if he's Julian Edelman, that means he's a rare, tough guy who needs to get out there and produce. Yesterday he produced. Way to go. If every game was like yesterday, I never would have said a word about Ricky Pearsall. But every game hasn't been like yesterday. He disappeared for 2 months. So can he stay healthy in the NFL? Can he play 5 games in a row? I hope he can. I'm rooting for him. I'm not rooting against him. I'm rooting for him. So whatever.
I'll tell you this, too. You know, we bagged on Juwan Jennings for, you know, some rightful reasons, probably some just getting frustrated reasons. Whenever it comes down to arguing about money, things get a little ugly. We all know that. Without his 7 receiving touchdowns, where are the 49ers this year? Without Juwan Jennings, I mean, I'm not saying he's a $20 million a year guy, but he is their guy, not named George Kittle or Christian McCaffrey. He's the only guy really along for the ride this year. Kendrick Bourne has shown up and, you know, played well at times. You know, he goes in and out of focus. DeMarcus Robinson, mostly out of focus. Had a couple good catches yesterday, though. But this is, you know, Juwan Jennings. Like, without this guy, they're not even thinking about the math for the 1 seed, much less maybe even the playoffs. So I just wanted to give Juwan Jennings a little love since we bagged on him at a lot of different turns. Sometimes rightfully so. Sometimes, again, I think we get a little upset just the way things have gone. He's pretty damn good, man. He's pretty damn good. He's the big body that they need in the red zone. And without him this year, they are a 7-win football team.
I don't remember bagging on Juwan Jennings, so maybe that's a different stream. But, you know, all I would say is Juwan Jennings is always been a money receiver, and he's a money receiver. You know, they wanted Debo to be the money receiver. They paid Ayuk to be the money receiver, but who actually keeps being the money receiver? Juwan Jennings in his 4.7 speed. So it just goes to show you that, you know, he is a winner. He's a ball player. There's a reason Shanahan loves him. There's a reason Lynch says he's his favorite, because these guys are all about football, and so is JJ. He's all about winning football games. So, you know, he'll say some things, he'll do some things, whatever. I really never have cared about any of that. Just show up on game day, man. Show up on game day. And now with Ayuk gone, I would say the door's open for JJ to come back if the Niners can work out a deal.
Let me tell you, man, this Brandon Ayuk situation, though, I mean, you can just tell Shanahan has had it. They're just exhausted with the question. And that's basically, I think, why they, you know, sent him home without supper for the rest of the year. They got to feel betrayed on some level. Like, we can do the whole, it's all business. I think this got a little personal, and that's why it's all just falling apart. And what a shame, because right now, what if I could offer you, here's a really successful receiver who's had an awful lot of success in this offense and has a little something going with this quarterback, and he's going to show up for your final month of the year to help you get to the playoffs and then see what you got there. I mean, Brandon Ayuk would be exactly what the doctor could have ordered. And it feels like it was all there. It could have happened, right? If they could have all just played nice on some level, whether it be personal, professional, coach-player relationship, there is a story of bad blood that we do not know about yet, that no reporters found out. There's got to be something more than just he took the Niners off their Instagram. You know, like there's something happened, and we still don't know what that is.
They took away all of his guaranteed money. I think that's pretty obvious.
No, but something happened before that. Before that action, Larry, something happened to fracture this relationship in a way that we've never really seen a player relationship fracture with any generation of the San Francisco 49ers.
Nothing needed to have happened, Damon. All that needed to have happened is that he wasn't rehabbing the injury the way or in the manner that they wanted. And they said, hey, this is not what we want. And he didn't bow to them, and they took away his guarantees. And obviously he felt like he had no grounds to get those guarantees back because he didn't fight it. He didn't fight it. So, you know, I think we kind of know that
just, you know, players a little out of shape. Your player is, you know, missed a couple of benchmarks in his rehab. I just think that can all be fixed. You know, guys have gone away and rehabbed injuries away from the 49ers and have come back, and everything is kumbaya pretty instantly. Something a year from now will come out about this, and we're going to be like, oh, that was it. That was it. Shanahan backed over his cat in the driveway one night, and that's now we know. It's going
to
be something.
I mean, it wouldn't take me anything more than they took away all my guarantees to say, I don't want to play for you. So if the Niners really thought that he was going to come back and play for them, then they're naive.
Right. But the Niners did that knowing in full service that that was going to happen. And they did it anyways. Like, that is cutting off.
Because they prioritized their money. Because they prioritized getting their money back, because it was a sizable amount of money on a receiver that they probably don't think can play anymore. So they're like, you know what? He's given us an avenue to get all this back. We're getting it back. Now, you know, so now it seems like Lynch and Shanahan were still of the mindset like, okay, but, you know, will he decide that, you know, he had a lot to do with that and just come back and compete and play? And obviously he wanted no part of that. So once he went kind of AWOL on them, you know, you saw the Dino Rossini report on Saturday. The report was the Niners were hoping that Ayuk would come back and practice. And once he, and they obviously, they probably communicated to him some kind of a window, and he basically flipped them the bird by not showing up inside their window. And so they ended it, you know, they pulled the ripcord and ended his tenure here. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know that there's going to be anything else will come out. I just think it's a matter of there was a sizable amount of money, and that he gave them an avenue to get it back, and they went and got it back. And then they thought, well, maybe he'll continue playing with us. And he's like, no, I'm not. Now they're cutting him.
Larry, were you able to find out what happened to Jordan Elliott that he was ruled out on game day? What did he fall down his stairs in the morning walking out of his house? Like, what happened? Why was Jordan Elliott ruled out?
In the 11 o'clock hour, a couple hours before the game in the locker room, he obviously pulled something and couldn't go. And so the Niners said, hey, Kevin Givens, we need you to go. And they made Jordan inactive. So, yeah, it was, you know, something in the ramp up to playing. He might have had an injury coming in that we didn't know about. All I can say was I was at practice last week. He practiced in full. He didn't look hurt in any way. So, you know, it happens, guys. You know, they start stretching, they start doing stuff. All of a sudden, you know, something pops or whatever. I we'll get more details on that, I'm sure, today.
It's a shame. And I think it's part of the reason why, you know, Tony Pollard looked so good against the 49ers. I think that they're already missing enough guys up front to where they are really hurting when they start missing that guy. I thought Keon White played pretty well in some snaps. It wasn't a day. Did they get to Cam Ward? Did they sack Cam Ward once? No. So, you know, expect that to be the result. Expect the 49ers to finish a lot of football games without a sack for the rest of this year. This shouldn't surprise anybody. You know, Cleveland Farrell gets loose on a snap, gets a sack. That's great. Celebrate it. Because the sacks are going to be few and far between. I mean, it might
You know who played well, I thought, was your guy, C.J. West. I thought West was really strong. Now, if you look at the box score, it doesn't look like much, right? You just look at it and you're like, you know, two tackles, two solo. But he, you know, does a great job of standing in against the run between the tackles. And, you know, I thought a lot of their success running it came when they ran to the perimeter. But I like what I'm seeing out of C.J. West. He every game he's getting a little bit better. That tandem inside of C.J. and Alfred is got some talent. I mean, he's good. I mean, he can stay. C.J. West can split a double team, and he's a wide body guy who keeps his shoulders squared to the line of scrimmage, and he maintains, you know, lane integrity or whatever. He stays home, but man, he makes plays. And I think he and Alfred are a really nice tandem.
Hey, I would love to see even more from Alfred Collins. I was hoping for that first NFL sack yesterday. Did not happen. Got Tony here who made a comment saying Tennessee was another two win team. The Saints were a two win team. Cardinals, two win team. Falcons, three win team. Giants, two wins. Cardinals, three wins. Browns, two wins. Titans, two wins. Yeah. Tony, exactly. The schedule that giveth life to a season that already might have been dead. We knew that. And thank God that that happened. Now, you can't blame the 49ers for their beating the bad teams on their schedule. What you should be would be mad if they had lost to any of those teams. They haven't. They've taken care of business where they needed to take care of business. And if you want to count the wins, what you don't like about the wins, let's tell me the bad loss. Show me the team that they lost to that's a bumbling team full of douchebags who ain't going anywhere. Every team that they've lost to is a playoff team right now. So they've got nothing but quality losses. Not that that matters in football. The Niners have done a great job negotiating an incredibly narrow balance beam all year long, and they've been helped by their soft schedule.
But it's the way you play the day you play. I mean, nobody's mentioning in that little graphic that the Giants beat the Eagles. Nobody's mentioning in that graphic that the Cardinals beat the Cowboys. You know, nobody's mentioning that some of these teams rose up. Carolina beat Green Bay at Lambeau. So, I mean, you know, I mean, let's be real about this. Yes, they've piled up some wins against some really subpar opponents, but some of those subpar opponents have beaten the teams that they now need to beat to get to the Super Bowl. So yeah. What is it? If they beat the team, you know, it's the way you play, the day you play. You got to get all phases going at one time. You got to get the offense going. You got to have a good day on special teams. You got to take away the football a little bit. You take away the football once or twice, you get your offense cooking, you get a nice day on special teams, you're going to beat anybody. So my hope here is that the Niners can avoid the 7 seed, avoid the Rams, and then potentially have somebody else beat the Rams for them.
Well, since you brought that up, Larry, let's talk about what's happening on Thursday night, because you will not find a bigger NFL game to affect the 49ers that they're not actually playing in than the one that's coming up on Thursday night. The 49ers don't play Thursday, but the Seahawks and Rams do. And if Seattle beats the Rams on Thursday night football, then things get incredibly interesting. If Seattle beats the Rams on Thursday night football, the 49ers officially control their own destiny for the 1 seed. If Seattle wins Thursday night and the 49ers do go 3-0 in their final 3 remaining games, they're the one. There's nothing left to debate. There's nothing left to talk about. There's no more math to do. That's it. A control your own destiny to the 1 seed is available if the Seahawks beat the Rams on Thursday night. And don't tell me it can't happen. Don't tell me it can't happen. Division games on Thursdays always go weird.
Where's the game?
That game is in Seattle.
I would feel better if it was in L.A. Seattle is a really good road team, and they're not great at home. And, you know, it's funny. They used to be a great home team, like one of the best.
Yeah.
But the 12s, you know, I was talking to Dave Softy Mahler. He's like, you know, it's not the same home field that it used to be. So, in a way, I kind of feel like Seattle, you know, like if the Niners have to go to Seattle in the playoffs, that might be a better situation than having them at Levi's. The way they're playing at home, they're not playing well at home. Maybe they're 5-2 at home, but they've been better on the road.
Hey, the Niners are a little bit better on the road, I think, sometimes.
I think so, too. Why is that?
Do you even want the 1 seed, then?
You want the one seed.
But you'll take it.
But don't fear the road.
I don't think there's anything to fear anywhere in this league. I don't. Whatever team reaches the Super Bowl, if you threw the freaking New York Jets into that game, the Jets could win that game. Maybe not the Jets. They fired Steve Wilkes today. By the way, we got a couple of other stories that we got to talk about that are officially big elsewhere in the NFL stories to get to. But like you said, Larry, the way you play on the day you play, and this is everything's a coin toss. There is nothing. It's not like, oh, they had a bad job. They did a bad job slowing down the Titans. That means nothing in Indianapolis. There is no carryover from this week to that week. This game plan to that game plan. Last Sunday to this Sunday. There's no carryover. You can see teams have trouble carrying over momentum through a halftime, much less a 6-day work week. So just the amount of hand-wringing over that wasn't perfect. It ain't built to be perfect. It's not gonna be perfect. Adjust your settings so you know what you're dealing with. By the way, our settings are going crazy right now. Over 1,500 people across all channels and all streaming platforms. Welcome, everyone. Hit like and subscribe to both The Krug Show and Damon Bruce Plus, if you would, please. Is there anything else in your bag o' niners that you just got to empty right now, Larry, that you got to get to before we start taking a broader look at things and hit some sweepers and whatnot?
Okay, so all these teams are flawed, right? So, I mean, there's no question about that. Every team's got a flaw. And we could go through and point them out. But the Niners situation is interesting in that they've got the traditional combo of what you need to win a championship. They've got a great head coach and a quarterback that can really do it. You know, they got a really good quarterback and they got a really good head coach. The quarterback down is third down. And the Niners on third and fourth downs yesterday went 10 for 16. And their offense generated a 75% success rate on third and fourth down. I mean, that's crazy. So, you know, they converted all there. Now, the problem is they're getting in this game, they got to a lot of third and longs because there was, once again, McCaffrey. I mean, I could go through it in my box score and look at it. McCaffrey, I would say, without looking at it, was held to 0, 1, or 2 yards, maybe 5 or 7 times.
Yeah,
I mean, he got stonewalled a lot.
They got
the third and long a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, the Niners scored touchdowns on 4 of their 6 red zone drives, only 1 field goal attempt. You know, but they, you know, they stayed out a long distance and long distance situations for the most part. But when they got in those situations, Brock Purdy still came through. Kyle still came through.
Each of their first
still came through.
7 third downs, converted their first 7 third downs, went 7 for 7 on third down before they didn't pick up 1. And again, they did not punt yesterday. 0 punts. It's a great day for the offense. It really was. By the way, you know, did you see this on Purdy? It's his 11th career 3 touchdown game. It's not too bad for a guy who hasn't even started 50 regular season games yet. Again, there are people who look at him and have been, you know, like very much on the record, unimpressed with the start of his career. When it like you said,
why? What are you unimpressed by?
Exactly. I don't understand.
What are you unimpressed by? I'd love to know. You know, this kind of annoys the shit out of me. I got to be honest. I'm just going to vent for just 1 second here. There's a lot of people who, when he plays well, just give him minimal lip service, and as soon as he has a bad game, the he's not him call comes out. Well, which one is it? You have to be somewhat rooted in something. It's like you can't be like Brock sucks, he's playing great, and then when he's playing great, you're just like, okay, it's Shanahan, it's the surrounding cast, it's this, it's that. And then when he plays poorly, it's like, see, I told you, he's not him. It's like, stop. You've been found out. We're on to you. Okay, we're on to you. So if you're going to credit him when he wins, then you got to temper your criticism when he loses. Do you not?
No. The people out there don't. And that's why their content isn't necessarily valuable, because it changes like the wind. You know, their hardcore opinion on 1 week is just not even brought up the next week. And it's like you can feel people who just want to pounce on the negativity. And that's all, that's the only prism but through which they cover the league.
Well, you know what it is? I don't even think it's that. I think it's more like, hey, look, I'm not going to bother going after Jake Brendel. I'm not going to bother going after a receiver, a tight end, a DB. I'm going to focus my discontent on the head coach and the quarterback, because that's who the most people care about. That's what's going to get the most clicks. I mean, I get it, but there has to be some consistency. You know, as you're giving the guy a great grade today, you may want to hold off on on saying that he's not the answer at quarterback and coming up with all these trades. You know, I'm sure Brock Purdy sees all that stuff. Oh, you know what? Trade him for here. Trade Brock Purdy and three number ones for Joe Burrow. It's like, what?
Like, again, we talked about it on Monday because it's just a fun talk radio segment. That's a fun segment to just kick around. If you totally ignore the fact that Brock Purdy is in no trade clause and would never sign off on being traded to Cincinnati.
Well, I don't even necessarily agree with that. Personally, I just think that anybody who has a no trade clause, that just means you have a seat at the table. But who will really, do you want to be in a marriage that doesn't want you? Would you want to be on a team that didn't want you?
I'm going to tell you right now.
I think all those trade deadline things are just like, hey, you know what? You're not going to trade me to Cleveland without my consent. At least I'm going to be able to say to somebody, I'd rather go here than there. Or if it was really heinous, I could always put my foot down. But I would say if the day comes that the Niners want to trade Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy's going to waive that.
Unless you're sending me to Cincinnati, where all hope for a good career kind of go to die. I mean, yeah. I literally have a no trade clause in my contract to make sure that stupid shit like that can't happen to me. So I would not expect Brock to. Yeah, I'm going to waive my no trade to be a Jet.
Very
happy New York Jet.
Yeah, but nobody's going to say, hey, you don't want me. No, I'm going to make myself an island unto myself. I'm not going anywhere. Well, if you really think that people don't want you, you're going to be like, all right, get me out of here.
Well, that's when you push over your list of teams that you should go talk to. Cause I would say yes to these, but I'm saying no to these. That's what any agent would do.
Sure. I just think that nobody's going to force a team to stay with them if they don't want them. My point is just that Brock Purdy is probably always been good enough, and there's just an awful lot of people that never wanted to give him his credit, and now he's playing really, really well, and so those people are quiet, but they're all out there. They're all out there. They're still sitting there with their, you know, Trey Lance is better than Brock Purdy emojis and everything else. It's just whatever. You know, whatever. But it's like
there's an emoji for that. I didn't download on my latest iOS iPhone. I don't have the Trey is better than Brock emoji available.
But I mean, you know, their pictures or whatever. I mean, I've seen them all over the place, and it's like immediately, it's like if Brock threw three picks yesterday, it would be like, you know, get them the hell out of here. They made a bad investment. They shouldn't have. They didn't need to sign the contract. I mean, we know the tired, you know, hue and cry of the loserdoms.
Mm-hmm. We do. All right. We need to talk about two huge things that happened yesterday. There is nothing bigger than finding out the Kansas City Chiefs are out of the playoffs, but beyond that, Patrick Mahomes is out of next season as well. A torn ACL, to say that is major, is the understatement of the NFL season. Kansas City is now on the precipice of playing the entirety of next year without their all-world quarterback. And let's face it, if you're Travis Kelce thinking about retiring, I think that injury just made up your mind for you. And then the question becomes, how much more does Andy Reid want to ride this ride if he's going to be riding it without Mahomes or Kelce?
It's over for Kansas City.
I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't have, if there was no torn ACL and it was just like a reload, improve, Kansas City would absolutely have been in the mix next year. No doubt about it. But whoa, you know, let's see if Andy Reid sticks around to show everyone what he can do with a backup quarterback and see if he can have as much success with his backup as the 49ers just did. And how about maybe a trade of Mac Jones for Chris Jones? You know, who needs a quarterback? Niners should be in that conversation. So I just think that there's some interesting.
Why would they ever want to help out Kansas City?
You're right about that.
Kansas City needs the quarterback. Oh, we better get him one. What? Put it this
way, Kansas City has a long, illustrious history of taking the quarterback the 49ers don't need anymore. It's half of their franchise's DNA is that former 49er quarterback, now Kansas City Chief quarterback. So it could happen. It could happen. The other gargantuan thing that obviously affects the 49ers' playoff chances this year and next year, even more than an injury to any AFC team, is the injury to Micah Parsons. He is now feared to have a torn ACL. Total non-contact, went down in the, my body language is telling the world this is an ACL injury. Micah Parsons, done for this year and any Packer playoff run and all of next year. Again, if there's anything the Niners can brag about their injuries, is that they got the major ones out of the way early enough in the year to where guys should be available next year. Micah Parsons and Patrick Mahomes ain't playing next year.
Well, okay, so
that's huge.
Couple things. One, Kansas City, I mean, this is the Klay Thompson injury basically all over again. This is basically like, not only is Mahomes done for the year, he's done for next year. And so that's the, that right there. Today is a, it's cold in Kansas City in December, but it's colder today because, man, they're looking at a long road. And I don't know how many times you could put on the Kansas City Chiefs Hallmark special to make yourself feel better. You know? I don't know if that's going to work. So Mahomes, I mean, it's unbelievable what a great run they had, but it doesn't last forever. And he may not do much winning in his 30s after doing tons of winning in his 20s. So, you know, on one hand, I, you know, great respect for Kansas City, what they've been able to accomplish. On the other hand,
hey, it's one of the best teams of our lifetime. No, nothing short of it.
On the other hand, I think the Parsons deal or the injury should tell everybody that going for one guy ain't it in football. Not it. Don't do it. Every time you want to trade all your assets for one guy, don't. Every single time you're thinking about, let's trade a bunch of assets for Trey Lance, don't. Let's trade a bunch of assets for Micah Parsons, don't. Let's trade a bunch of assets for Quentin Williams, don't. Don't trade a bunch of assets for one guy.
Can I give you the other side of that coin? And I agree with you. You want to hear what the other side of that coin sounds like? Christian McCaffrey.
Don't do it.
Saquon Barkley.
Don't do it.
You know, I mean, the Christian McCaffrey, if the 49ers had not traded for Christian McCaffrey,
what?
I think you're looking at a new coach by now. This is not the Shanahan. Shanahan and John Lynch aren't here if they don't do that trade.
First of all, that trade was a late first, a late second, and a late third for a running back. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about multiple ones for you know, the Niners traded 3 ones, basically. They used 3 ones on Trey Lance, okay? The Packers just traded 2 ones and more for Parsons. Don't trade 2 ones because it's about bodies, and your bodies break. This is a sport that breaks. And breaks bodies, and when your guys are hurt, you're done. Depth is the way to go. Don't fear the draft. Embrace it. Don't trade up in the draft. Trade back in the draft. You know, there are exceptions to every rule, and you could always throw an example of what it's smart to trade up. Heck, the Niners traded up for Jerry Rice. It was one of the great trades of all time. But I'm just saying, as a rule, it's smarter to have depth than it is to trade up. The team that's trading back is usually smarter than the team that's trading up.
I'm sorry. CMC is done. Kenny Powers. What? CMC is done. He's one of the 4 greatest players in this game today. He takes on a workload that would break any other running back in football. He outcarries the league by himself. He is this team's only hope for yardage, not named George Kittle. CMC is done. CMC should get MVP consideration. CMC is done. 14 touchdowns on the year. What the fuck are you watching? CMC is done. CMC's problems
Well, first of all, before you go off on this, he's at the age where he should be done.
He should be done. He ain't.
Yeah, he's had 8 games this year under 4 yards a carry. So you want to blame him? You want to blame the O-line? I mean, I understand what the people who are saying he's done, because he's not getting through the hole. And he's not, for the most part. I mean, he's had a really good year receiving, but he hasn't had a really good year running. And I don't know if it's on him or not, because guess who has had a pretty good year running? Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson's going for like 5 yards a carry, but this guy's going for like 3 yards a carry. Why? Why?
There's no explosive. They're not getting explosive plays, but it's not because Christian doesn't run to daylight.
It's going to be over shortly. So it's like, you know, to act like it's like he's not a spring chicken. He's closer to the end than he is to the beginning. That's for sure. And
right. But and he's not yet.
Yes, he's gotten incredible volume. He stayed healthy, but was he awesome yesterday as a runner? He ran for 3.3 a carry. I don't know. I would say he probably wasn't.
There will be certain positions that are just going to lend themselves to those aren't going to be gaudy stats anymore on this team. You know, wide receivers don't have gaudy stats on this team. The Christian McCaffrey situation is just, he's everything. I mean, here's the thing. Is he getting older? Yeah. You don't have to tell me that guys get older. I understand that. He is still, there's nothing behind him. You can say Brian Robinson, he's doing so much better. This team doesn't trust Brian Robinson very much. He did get 9 carries yesterday. I think that's good. He needs more. I would be using him more.
But I don't think they don't trust him. They just have CMC.
Right.
They have CMC. So CMC is their guy. So it's not that they don't trust Brian Robinson. They trust Brian Robinson. He's new to their offense. He doesn't know it as well. And they have CMC. I'm just saying that it's not outrageous to say that CMC, it's a little hyperbole to say he's done, but he's closer to done than people think. That's for sure.
Nobody wants
to talk about it. And it's funny. I always get these people that don't throw these quotes from players. Stop quoting players on players. The players don't rip players on their own team. So don't give me quotes from somebody on the team saying somebody on their same team is good. I mean, come on, that's and cite that as proof of anything. Come on. What do you expect? You're going to ask me what I think of Brian Murphy and I'm on KBR, he's on KBR, what, I'm going to rip him? No. Come on, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. So I don't stop using, well, this person says that this other person on his team is good. Yeah, so what?
It means
nothing.
Larry, it means nothing. What do you think of Murph?
Yeah, I love Murph.
Yeah,
but you know what? There you go. I mean, it's like it's ridiculous. It's like, how do you feel about your wife? You know, she's on my team. I'm not going to throw her under the bus. And
right.
These guys aren't going to throw their teammates under the bus. You know, either.
Guess what? Christian McCaffrey's done. He's got the 13th most rushing yards in the NFL. He's going to have 1,000 before this season is over. Just the notion that you would even start a sentence with, let me use this year as an example of how over it is preposterous. CMC is literally single-handedly winning my fantasy league for me.
Well, it's no different than the people who, you know, somebody has a good year in baseball, but then they'll tell you that, oh, but, you know, their exit velocity's down, their this is down, their razor whip, chip, whatever is down there. You know, they've got a million stats. Anybody can use a stat to tell them anything they want. But all I was saying is, all I'm saying is, I'm just trying to have a conversation and not just have this be a, let's give a, you know, some cheerleading rah-rah deal. Let's be honest with people. There's a segment that points to CMC and say, he's still great. Look at the volume. Okay. Then there's the segment over here that's saying CMC is not what he was. Look at the efficiency. So, you know, yeah, if he's great. He's great. Look at the volume. He sucks. He sucks. Look at the efficiency. I mean, they're, you know what I mean? We're speaking two different languages.
There's room for both.
My point is that there's room for both. You're right in that the volume is still the volume, but they're right in that the efficiency is nowhere near what it was.
But I don't think the inefficiency is because of Christian McCaffrey. Okay, how many how many times did you say already in this show that McCaffrey was stopped for 0 or 1 yard or buried for losses like 6-7 times in the game? That's blocking in front of him. That's not no him. Doubt. That's not him running east and west and not know how to put a foot in the ground and turn it uphill. Christian McCaffrey is the least of 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 the problems that the 49ers have. Are we out of our fucking minds? But he's getting a little bit older. Yeah, so is everybody. And that's why it's a shame that this team consistently every year drafts four dudes that it just totally fucking buries the minute they're handed their uniform. You know, Jordan James, you're a 49er. Congratulations. We will never see you again. I mean, that's the problem. That they're not developing anybody behind him is a problem. The problem ain't Christian McCaffrey's and his yards per carry average. If that is what you want to say is that that's his problem. Tell me about those 14 touchdowns. Is that a problem? You got anybody else on this team who can even come close to that? No, this guy's incredible. This guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's averaging almost a whole yard per carry less than his backup.
Okay. I bet you if his backup had as many touches as Christian McCaffrey had, it wouldn't get better for him. It would get worse.
Probably, but, you know, it's speculative. We're also talking about a guy who's averaging 65 yards a game rushing. You know, his greatness this year is that he's averaging 58 yards a game receiving.
Yeah. How can that be discounted?
No, I'm just saying, once again, we're having two different discussions. One's kind of a general discussion, and the other's more of a nuanced discussion. The nuanced discussion is efficiency. How efficient is Christian as a runner? And is his efficiency going down because he's getting older? Because he's not quite getting through the hole. I think that's the debate. I mean, nobody's saying he's crap. I mean, I haven't seen anybody jumping up and down. But he is 29, and running backs don't have a long shelf life. Look at Todd Gurley. Look at some of these guys. They're great for a few years. Next thing you look up, they're gone. They're out of the league.
Look, this guy's, I think, got as many touches this year as he had in the Super Bowl season already, and we ain't even into the playoffs yet.
Yeah, I mean, which is, you know, I was hoping that they would try to win yesterday without him, you know, try to save him. Why? Because the Bears are giving up 5.5 yards a carry. And the Bears Niners got to beat the Bears. That's a big game, much bigger than this next game is the game in 2 weeks against the Bears on Sunday Night Football. You got to beat the Bears. And I looked at the Bears. I did a deep dive on the Bears. I watched 5 of their games the other day, and I looked all at their stats. They are not stopping the run at all.
No, that defense is not very good. If they're getting interceptions, and they do get interceptions, if that secondary is picking you off, look out. By the way, do you see the other thing about the Bears? And sometimes you got to make up a record to say that you got a record. But Caleb Williams has set a new NFL, I'm going to use air quotes here, record with the fewest amount of interceptions in his first 1,000 passing attempts. Caleb Williams has the fewest turnovers in terms of interceptions than any quarterback in their first 1,000 passing attempts that has ever played. Now, I look at Caleb Williams, and he's a good, talented young guy, but really among his best traits is he does not turn the ball over. He misses a lot of throws still, but young quarterbacks do that in new offenses. I'm telling you, Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, if they're together for a few years, they're going to really complement each other. But it might be a year too early for the Bears.
His completion percentage is 58%.
It's not great.
You know, that's not great. So, yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm not a Caleb fan, but we'll see. I mean, he's not horrible. He's the first pick in the draft, but I don't know that he's first pick in the draft worthy. He did lose a fumble yesterday, but they won. They beat the Browns. They beat them up good.
Speaking of losing, yesterday, the New York Jets got mollywopped by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And guess what? Steve Wilks out of another locker room, Larry. Steve Wilks has been fired by the New York Jets after they allowed 82 points in their last two games. And all I can tell you is that Robert Saleh getting clear of that group of losers is the best thing that ever happened to Robert Saleh. And however Robert Saleh plays it from here, he's just, again, his future is secure. Robert Saleh is either going to say, all right, I'll go take a huge sack of money to go save another bullshit franchise, or he just gets to wait for the right and perfect opportunity and hand select his next step into head coaching. And I hope he does that. It would benefit him. I think it would benefit the 49ers. But if the Raiders offer, you know, $126 million over seven, I'd go take that too. So yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out. But I think that Saleh's so happy to be rid of the New York Jets. What a perennial loser franchise. Uh-oh, Larry, turn yourself up. Did you mute yourself?
There we go. You know, there's a bunch of bad teams. I will say this about Saleh. You know, he ought to be very circumspect about his next gig because you don't get a lot of opportunities. I mean, Shanahan may get three, but you're probably not going to get three. You're probably only going to get two. And so don't waste it on the Raiders. I mean, I you know, if you really want to be a head coach that's successful, wait for like the Ravens job to open up, or wait for a job where you're really supported to step up, and then go there. Go there. Don't go to Kansas City. Go to Baltimore. Don't go to the Raiders, because the Raiders' struggles go beyond, you know, just the coaches, the players. It's a bad organization. They make bad decisions. I if I was him, I wouldn't go there. I'd wait until I got a great opportunity, or I'd stay here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's got a great opportunity right here. His legend will only grow. Look at, he's got a defense that is outperforming all of its metrics right now. The 49ers play a brand of defense throughout the season where usually means that's, you're going to lose today. They don't lose today. And it's not like this has been a pinball machine offense all season long. It is really coming on late, though. And that's a good thing, because offense is going to have to drive the bus the rest of the way. Larry, we got an awful lot of supers here today. We got a lot of people watching, nearly 1,800 people along all of our streams. So let's get into some supers here. We got a ton of them today.
All right. We got Ernberg in the house.
What about your Habas folks?
Oh, that's right. We got the good people at Habas Law. Thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. 1-800 injured is their number. HabasLaw.com on the web. Thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. They're fantastic. You know, they have so many great initiatives. But man, if you are been injured and you need somebody in your corner who knows what the heck they're doing, visit HabasLaw.com, HABBASLaw.com. Habas Law, they will fight to make it right. 1-800-INJURED.
Should Ricky Pearsall call them? He's always injured.
Oh, man. I don't want to say anything about Ricky because so many Niner fans get butthurt when I do. And I'm tired of being the face of sanity when it comes to, hey, how about just be healthy? You know, is that really a controversial take? I guess it is. Joseph Ernberg, this shit team will get bounced by 50 in the playoffs. Okay. Westbrook, admit, Damon, Cam Ward is actually pretty good.
He was better yesterday than I thought he was going to be. But I thought the Niners, you know, played the game right. Dare Cam to beat you.
Westbrook says, Pearsall is Mr. Glass. Oh, my God, you're ripping Pearsall. Joseph Ernberg, can we just start the mocks? Season's going nowhere. That's a little over negative.
Could be a one seed. Season's going nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Ernberg. You gotta be a little bit more balanced. Fuji says, how was the media food? Was there soup or even horseradish for your congestion? Sad about the ACL injury for Mahomes and Parsons. At least they got paid. Yesterday, what was it? There was a very long line for omelets. I had an omelet. But the food yesterday, just okay. Blood Moon. David, why don't you read the rest of these? I'm a little
stuffy. You're a little stuffy right now, aren't you, Larry? Go ahead, blow your nose real quick. I'll go ahead and read these for you. It's bad. Okay. Unc Sherman, Cam Newton's thoughts on BA were very interesting and insightful on the process. A player close to the organization and a player who isn't. Check it out. I did hear what Richard Sherman said about what Brandon Ayuk, and he just basically said it's a shame, and you know something clearly went wrong that we don't quite understand. And for them to have taken away the guarantees, the reason why is because what you're arguing over where the rehab was either physically done or the results thereof, and how do you not be able to bridge that gap? And, you know, there was obviously, you know, they doubled down an investment on a player that they also wanted to walk away from. And everything since that moment was janky. Since the pre-Ricky Pearsall draft trade rumor that was Ayuk could be gone today. And remember, right before the draft, it was Debo could be moved today as well. You know, that was the 11th hour rumor as the Niners were going into that Ricky Pearsall draft. And so Richard just said, you know, there's what a shame. And it's so abstract, a normal way to do business that, you know, there's going to be some questions about this.
The moral of the story is don't re-sign your receiver unless he's Jerry Rice.
I don't know what Cam Newton's thoughts are about this. I do not consume Cam Newton in any way.
He can't even say Brock Purdy's name right.
He wears funny hats. That's
Patty, Patty. Cam Newton, what a joke. All right, we got this one.
All right, all things considered, great season. Playoff bound. Bill, yeah. The Niners should have been left for dead 4 weeks ago. They're in it for the one seed. Off topic. Fuge, congrats on the IU Heisman. It's... again, these are the end times. This must be the seventh sign. It's kiss your family, hold them tight. We are in the end times. We got a Heisman winner in Bloomington, and a 60 Minutes profile, which was fantastic last night.
He's got a lot of talent. He's a little corny, but he's got a lot of talent.
He is. He's a cornball, dorky, sweetheart of a guy, and people look at that and they see weakness. And obviously, when the game starts, there's not a lot of weakness in Mendoza's game. Gross, Montos, Bethune, and Elliott, I feel like free agent ads. I really want Bethune back in this defense before we start talking about what I can't do.
Two of them were free agent ads.
Yeah. All right, what else
we
got?
Two of those guys were free agent ads. The other guy was a draft pick, of course. JC Mania in the house.
Is Purdy the GOAT at pump faking? Him trolling Cody Barton yesterday on that scramble was absolute gold. I'll tell you what, had he fumbled that ball, you are mother effing him so hard. But yeah, here's the thing.
He apologized for it.
There's something going on about Brock Purdy that can only be explained by me pushing this button.
I think I got my swagger back.
Brock's getting his swagger back. There's something to be said for that. He is feeling good. We've doubled down on a dance move. We've seen two Dougies now. Look out, everybody. Brock is going to bring us back to 09. I hope that Kendricks plays this year. We need him. Dale.
No doubt.
By the way, JJ's 6 touchdowns in 6 games. Just saying, keep him. Dale again. Juwan Jennings has been playing really good lately. Again, not voluminous, doesn't crack a lot of yards, but in the red zone, he is he's the best option, not named Christian McCaffrey.
This is the guy, you know. You win by scoring touchdowns. He's got 6 games. Sign him up.
Pearsall equals Adam Thielen. Okay, first of all, Adam Thielen was a badass for a while there. No, dude, Ricky Pearsall wishes he were Adam Thielen. Come on, we're just making Caucasian comparisons at that point.
Yeah.
Defense will be working as fine as long as the offense rocks it. Yeah, this is score in the red zone, play field position. You know, you're going to have to give this defense an awful lot of field to work with to feel good about it.
The money on this team is on the offense. You're paying Trent, you're paying Kittle, you paid Ayuk, you paid CMC, you paid Shanahan, you paid Purdy. The money is on offense. You paid Juice. Your offense should have to lead you. That's where the money is.
By the way, I will. Doesn't it feel like Kyle Juszczyk is absolutely more in the game plan this month as opposed to last month? It just feels like they're looking for him more. They know they need to do something other than Purdy Kittle. You know, or no, they need to do something other than Kittle Christian. We need something else. And Juszczyk is becoming more of an option. It feels like more targeted. Game in, game out lately. Fuji again says, Larry, even though the SI Kittens, congratulations, SI football, D3, AA state champs. I love to say this. Cat Machine, go ahead, Larry, with your stuffy nose. Sing your fight song.
Hey, you, there's nothing you could do. I said, you just can't stop that Cat Machine. I can't get into the fight song.
You can't hit those notes right now?
Can't hit those notes. Kevin Wood, what should they do at defensive end next year? Run Bosa back, get more help, draft some defensive ends, at least two.
Well, and you know, hopefully Michael Williams is, everything that he's supposed to be. He had a very middling rookie year. Joe Burrow yesterday, Baltimore 24, Cincinnati 0, trade Purdy. Yeah, thank you. Licked Scorpion.
We get this one from Dale.
We get the fifth seed if the Rams 1-2. And if it's Rams 1, Niners 2, Seattle 3, we get the fifth seed.
I'm not worried about the seeding. I don't want to play the Rams.
I don't think anyone wants to play the Rams right now. Hopefully the Seahawks beat them on Thursday. Greg Arjazi says 49ers defense ranks 20th, Eagles 21st. Also, Bill Walsh's San Francisco offense won 81 Super Bowl. Short passes to running backs are the running game. This is the true WCO 2025 Niners. The true West Coast offense is what he's trying to say. There's a lot of, Christian McCaffrey is just an absolute badass. If you're telling me, who would you rather have? Jonathan Taylor's rushing average or Christian McCaffrey in the 49ers offense? I'd rather have Christian McCaffrey in the 49ers offense for any one game this year. If you're telling me the next 3 years, well, yes, now we're talking about Jonathan Taylor. But in the meantime, dude, McCaffrey's just the man. F you, Larry, says Larry Martin. What a nice way to start a super. At least you're getting paid to get F you'd, Larry. F you, Larry. Remember last year's red zone numbers? I love the improvements. I don't know what's going on there. Greg RJZ coming in again. You need a running game, but the West Coast offense, the pass sets up the run. Thank you. Larry Martin says, had to come to show some love to you guys. F you both, keep grinding. Love both you guys. Larry was wrong about Ibuka and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Are you an OSU wide receiver believer now? This sounds like some sour grapes here, Larry. You're muted.
Bring me Cardale Tate. I'll take Smith as well. I love those Buckeye receivers. Yeah. He's good. Yeah.
You should take Elijah Surratt. He's better than all of them.
No way.
No, we've had Bill Kennedy. Jeremiah Smith is freaking ridiculous.
Well, so Tate. They're incredible.
Salah should be the heir apparent to the 49ers' next head coach. Yeah, that's not how this league works. Thank you, Bill. Rivers plays expected. Will the Colts light us up? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Love the fact that they got Rivers next week. I mean, Rivers coming off of his first game in 5 years. I bet you he can't get out of bed today. I bet you have a hard time getting out of bed tomorrow. By the time he starts practicing for the game, it'll be Wednesday.
He's got to be hurt. He's got to be a little sore for sure. You two next year, will there be a holiday theme merch? Any holiday theme merch for you, Larry?
None that I can think of right now, but it's a good idea.
Christmas sweaters for everybody. Let's see. Terrible news about Rob Reiner and his wife. Rest in peace. Fuji. It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. What happened.
I just heard this morning. Rob Reiner, who is Meathead from All in the Family for you TV fans from the 70s, and has been a producer, an executive producer for years now.
And a director, Larry, he had one of the single greatest runs any director ever had. He had Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, A Few Good Men, When Harry Met Sally. He did all of these back to back. He had a run of great movies that we all love, and it's a shame.
One of them was a Tom Hanks movie, was it? The one where Tom Hanks plays the guy who, you know, does a million different things. What's that movie? Forrest Gump. Did he do Forrest Gump?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought he did.
I don't think he
did. He was supposedly killed by his kid.
His 32-year-old mentally disturbed son stabbed his mother and father to death in their home last night.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Terrible, terrible. Thoughts and prayers.
Horrific, horrific. Mustafa and Brown have to catch the ball. Yeah, dude, if it hits you in your hands, please catch it. If you can end a possession right there, please do it whenever you can. By the way, Robert Zemeckis, thank you very much. The chat helping us out with Forrest Gump. Robert Zemeckis, who also directed Back to the Future. Let's see here. Vish says, what do you guys think of the missed tackles? Salah said it was because of 13 weeks, but we saw some yesterday. Look, this has not been a great tackling team all year. Their best tackler is way out of the picture in Fred Warner, and their second best tackler is Tatum Bethune, and he didn't play yesterday. Bethune coming back, I think there is no one thing solves all 49ers defensive problems, but the 49ers are going to be a better football team with Bethune playing linebacker. I don't think there's anything to even debate there, Larry.
Yeah. Now, the missed tackles have got to end, but it was bad. It was bad. F you, Larry, 4 hot toddies in bed for you.
Seriously.
I actually sound worse than I am. I feel good. I'm just all nasally right here. I'm just so super stuffed up. So I
you got the spilkus. The serious spilkus.
Bad. Really bad. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. David, I'll give you the final word before we bolt for the door.
Larry, I want to end up with this. The reason why I didn't do a in-game watch party yesterday, there was a plan to start it a little late. I went to the funeral of 49er Ernie, who is, Larry, you knew him actually better than you think. Remember when you came to the Plus Mania at the halfway club and then you and Smiley Dan went out for pizza?
Yeah.
The other guy with you was Ernie. And Ernie sadly passed away, and I went to his funeral yesterday.
Can you show that? Are you talking about, he's young.
47 years old, stomach cancer. I went to his funeral yesterday. And his mother comes up to me in tears and asks me to be a pallbearer. And when a grieving mother asks you to carry her son to his grave, the only correct answer is yes. So I canceled the show and I stayed the entire afternoon at the funeral. And it was incredibly powerful. And all I'm going to tell you is, as much as we argue with, not you and me necessarily, Larry, but the chat and all of us together, I love all of you. I really do. And we need to say that while people are still around to hear it. So very emotional day yesterday. Very, very sad. This guy loved San Francisco. He loved the Giants. He loved the Warriors. Sports were a theme of his funeral. This is a good man. Closer. This is a very, very good man that we lost yesterday. So rest in peace, Ernie. And that is my final word today. Love everybody. It's a Victory Monday. Be happy. Thank you for watching. Like and subscribe all the way around. Peace.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But RIP Ernie.